John chapter 1, we're going to be in verses 43 through 51, at least for our reading. Our reading will be 43 to 51. So John chapter 1, starting at verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip said unto him, Come and see. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And let's go to God in prayer. Father, we do thank you again for the day that you've brought us through. Thank you, Father, for the day that you blessed us with. And Lord, we ask that you bless our time together again tonight. Father, I pray that you'd bless the reading of your word, that you would guide us according to your will tonight, Lord. Teach us the things we need to learn. Remind us of the things we need to remember. Lord, help us to see how it applies to our life. And Father, we always want our hearts to be drawn closer to you. We want you to have your way with us, teaching us, Lord, guiding us, molding us more into the image of Christ, because that was your predestinated plan for all of us, was to be molded and shaped more into the image of Christ, having the mind of Christ, having the vision of Christ, the heart of Christ. So, Father, we ask that you would continue to do that good work in us that you started. Father, we ask that you would, as always, bless the children in Kid Venture. Again, Father, just allow them to understand the Bible lesson, allow the Word of God to take root in their hearts, help them have fun with the games. But, Father, we just pray and trust that, Lord, as you promised, your Word would not return void. Lord, we ask that it would do what it's intended to do in the hearts of the children as well as our hearts as well. Lord, it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, on this particular day, Jesus is calling out disciples to follow him. And as he calls them out, some will go and find others to bring to Christ. And we come and we see Philip, who is one of the first ones mentioned here, who is of Bethesda, which is also the city that Andrew and Peter live in as well. But the focus tonight is going to be on Nathanael and Nathanael's outlook on what's going on. And tonight, we've been talking about considering Jesus, and last week we talked about just the presence of Christ in our life and how we do need to consider the presence of Christ in our life, that he's always there, though he is seated at the right hand of the Father, yet he's not so far away that he's disconnected to each of his followers, to each of the children of God. I mean, he's very in tune with our life. He's guiding our steps, as the Bible tells us, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Many times when we find ourselves falling just on life's journey, the Lord is there to pick us up and to help us and to encourage us. And we look here and we see that as Philip tells Nathanael about Jesus Christ, and the fact that when he says in verse 45, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Philip wants Nathanael to understand it. Nathanael, we assume just by the context here that Nathanael is a believer. He is a believer in God. He's a believer in the coming Messiah. And when Philip introduces Jesus to him, you know, he has a little reservation about it. He is a little concerned because he's thinking about the scriptures. He's thinking about what God's word says about the coming Messiah. And we always have to remind ourselves, and really what we're going to think about tonight is the fact that God is all-knowing. There's nothing that God doesn't know. We know that. We know that God's all-knowing, but I think sometimes we forget that God does know our hearts. He knows our thoughts. He knows things that we struggle with. And I want to even just think right off the bat that Nathanael, he's not a scorner. He's not an unbeliever. He is someone who is who has a mind, who's thinking, and he's even contemplating what Philip is telling him. But when he comes to Jesus, he will see that Jesus knows who he is, and Jesus loves him dearly. In verse 45 and 46, as we start with, I just want us to consider Nathanael's outlook of what he's being told. Again, verse 45, Philip findeth Nathanael, saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can there any good thing come of Nazareth? And Philip saith unto him, come and see. Just even stop and argue, if you ever have someone question you about Jesus and what it's all about, don't be afraid to encourage them to come and to find out, all right? To come to church and find out what it truly is all about. And that's what Philip is doing. Philip is telling Nathanael about Jesus. And he's, again, like I said, he's got some reservations. He's kind of cautious about what he's being told. And Philip just, well, you know what? If you don't believe me, just come and see and hear him for yourself. So the first thing we see in verse 45 that sometimes we're cautious, right? We see that Nathanael is cautious about the scriptures, about what Philip is telling him. He's thinking about what Philip is saying. He's thinking about what he's learned through the word of God. And there are times where we're kind of cautious about what God is saying. Look at Isaiah 55, if you would. Isaiah 55, and we'll look at it at the book of Hebrews. But as we think about just the cautiousness of Nathanael, the fact that he wasn't too quick to just believe what Philip was saying. And sometimes people are not quick to believe what we tell them about Jesus Christ. And there's times in our life where we're not too quick to believe as well. Not too many people come to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ the first time they hear about Jesus Christ. But the Lord is the one that works in their heart. But again, just looking at Nathanael's outlook of what he's being told, he's kind of cautious. And Isaiah 55, verse 11, the Bible tells us, so shall, and this is God speaking, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Now, as we consider the truths about God, the most important question that we can ask is, what does the Bible say? Again, we don't have the answers for everything in life, everything that's happening in our life, everything that's happening in someone else's life, but we do know someone who has all the answers, and that's God. We know, again, we will never know unmistakably everything in someone else's heart. Sometimes we misjudge people based on what we think, but God never misjudges. God always knows what's in a person's heart. He always knows their thoughts. He always knows the inner struggles that they have that maybe we don't know. Maybe they're not telling us, but God knows. And God's word will never return void. Remember, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Again, some people are quick to put their confidence in visions that they see, in dreams, or in someone else's testimony, instead of placing their confidence in God's word that will always accomplish God's will. God will always accomplish his will in our life through his word. Again, when we think about Nathanael, again, Nathanael is a Jew. He's an Israelite. He is someone who does believe. He's just a little cautious on what he's being told because he is comparing scripture to what someone is saying. And again, he'll even say, you know, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Not that he's questioning that Jesus is good, but he's questioning the place that Jesus came from, the place that he grew up in. But look in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Now, the reason why I say that Nathanael was cautious but yet believing is because when Philip said, well, come and see, he was willing to go and to see, to find out. Philippians 4 and verse 12, the Bible reminds us, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Again, God's word in the life of a believer is there to guide us, to strengthen our faith, to teach us, and to, as the Bible says in Psalms, to be that lamp unto our feet and light unto our path, guiding us in the truth of God's word. And honestly, when somebody is searching for the truth, there's times in our life where, you know what, we want the truth, we want God to just give us the direction that we need. God will do that through his word. And as somebody is searching for the truth and they hear the word of God, the Holy Spirit of God will direct their steps and their hearts towards Jesus Christ. Look at John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And I want you to, so we look at John chapter 4. This is the instance where Jesus comes to Jacob's well. He's there in a certain part of Samaria. An unnamed woman comes out that Jesus speaks to, and she puts her faith and trust in him. Jesus speaks to her. She goes back into the town, and she tells everyone there about Jesus. So it's John 4, look at verse 39, verse 39 through 42. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him, believed on Jesus, for the saying of the woman. Again, she had her encounter with Jesus at the well. Jesus knew her so well that when he told her, go and get your husband. And she said, I have no husband. And Jesus said, you're right. You don't have a husband. You've had five, and the one you're with now is not your husband. It's amazing that sometimes we forget that Jesus knows every detail about our life. And to me, sometimes that can be a scary thing, that Jesus knows everything about me. Because honestly, some people like to pretend that there's nothing wrong with their life. Everything's perfect. There's no problems. They have no struggles. But Jesus knows. And Jesus knows because when he continues talking to her, he tells her that she's going to basically continue thirsting unless she allows Christ into her life. And he talks about the well that bubbles up on the inside, the Holy Spirit on the inside that satisfies, because she wasn't satisfied with life. She wasn't satisfied with relationships. Nothing could satisfy that inner longing for love and completeness and acceptance except for Jesus Christ. But after she is done talking with Jesus and she realizes who he is, she runs back into the town and tells everybody, is not this the one we are waiting for? Is not this the Messiah? And then the men come out, and this is where it says many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman. She had a testimony, and again, like I said earlier, some will put confidence in someone else's testimony, which, you know what, every one of us should have a testimony that speaks about Jesus Christ, that testifies our relationship and faith in Jesus Christ. But continue reading. They believed because of what she said. That's why they came out of the city to even come to Jesus and see him and hear him, which testified, this is what she said, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. He abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. What a wonderful experience that must have been. They came out really out of curiosity, because they all knew who she was. She lived in the city. They knew who she was. And they hear what she's saying about the Messiah. So they all were looking for the coming Messiah. So they go out there. And then after 2 days of him talking to them and them just being in his presence, then they believe on him, not just because of what someone else said, but now because of what they've heard. And that's the importance, again, when you think about Nathanael. Again, he knows the scriptures. He's waiting for the Messiah. So when Philip comes to him and says, hey, we found him, the one that Moses spoke about, the one the prophet spoke about, Jesus of Nazareth. So again, Nathanael he's very cautious though, because again, and you, honestly, let me say this, we should be cautious on believing everything that has the name of Jesus attached to it, because not everything that's promoted in this world is of God. Not every book, not every church, not every musical group is of God, just because they may mention Jesus. Many years ago, somebody had given us a CD, a musical CD, and this person singing on it was singing and singing, and we're just waiting and waiting. And at the very last of the song, when they were done singing, they whispered, Jesus. It's like, okay, but the song had nothing to do with Jesus. So what I'm saying is we have to be cautious, and the Bible even tells us that we are to use scripture to see what is true in this world. We don't want to be misled. We don't want to be led astray by things that supposedly are religious, but they're not of God. Remember, the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy, as Jesus tells us. The devil can appear as an angel of light, and his ministers can appear as angels of light, leading people astray, causing people to think that they are in a right religion, following a right way. But the best way for us to always know is the Holy Spirit will always guide us according to God's word, according to God's plan for our life. Again, when you think about what's going on with Nathanael, he's a little cautious about what he's being told. And notice in verse 46, John chapter 1 and verse 46. And it is good to be cautious, all right? But sometimes we do find ourselves, besides being cautious, being a little skeptical. In verse 46, Nathanael said to him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? So you just see, I mean, Nathanael's being a little cautious, but then he's being skeptical of a place. He's being skeptical of a place. Again, Philip says back in verse 45, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So Philip is telling, look, this Jesus, the one from Nazareth, whose stepfather that we know by the name of Joseph, this is the one the scriptures talk about. This is the one that came of a virgin birth. And yet Nathanael totally misses. He's Jesus. Okay, but Nazareth? He doesn't like something about Nazareth and becomes very skeptical. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? You know what? Sometimes people are a little skeptical about the things of God. There's probably been times in our life, I'm sure. I know in my life where I've been a little skeptical about something because of maybe somebody else I know. I mean, in fact, when we were naming all of our kids, and my wife and I, we talked and we discussed, there was only one child of ours that I'm the one that named the child without her. But it was our decision that one, that, you know what, I would name that son when the name came to me. And the name didn't come to me until after he was born. And I'm on the phone with a friend of mine that's asking, well, what's his name? And I'm just like, the name is? And then Sanders like, what's his name? Right? But you know what? There are names that we talked about with the other ones that we're like, no, not naming them that because of something of that person. Their character or something that, you know, they did. I mean, again, maybe there is, but I've never met a person named Jezebel. Maybe there is, and you know who Jezebel is. I've Ahab, you know, just people that have a bad stigma, people that, you know, their name, when you hear that name, you don't think happy thoughts. You kind of steer away from that. It's being a little skeptical, a little cautious. Nazareth was a place that a lot of people traveled to. It was even said of Nazareth. I mean, it was a place that a lot of the Jews, those that lived in Jerusalem didn't care too much about Nazareth, just like they didn't care anything about Samaria. It was a place where a lot of people traveled through, a lot of people that are traveling, the Romans and all that. It was kind of almost like a crossroads of where they were traveling from the south to the north and different things. And just it was a city not really known for anything good. Think about our Lord and Savior. He didn't choose to be born in a palace. He chose to be born in a stable. He didn't choose to be born, you know, in a nice, comfortable, you know, to be laid in a nice, comfortable crib, but in a manger, a feeding trough. So the Lord chooses to grow up in a place that is not well thought of. And it proves here Nathanael's a little skeptical when it's even mentioned Jesus of Nazareth and says, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? So, I mean, he's a little skeptical. He's a little cautious. And all along the way, the Lord knows Nathanael, knows his thoughts, knows his heart. I love the fact that when we get to it, just how Jesus even kind of talks about Nathanael as he starts approaching him. So look at verse 47 and 48 as we just see the omniscience of God. The fact that God is all-knowing and all-wise. And I'm glad, I mean, just if I can even just say this to start with, I'm glad that God does not judge or condemn us because our thoughts are not always right. Nathanael did not have a right thought because he totally assumed that if Nazareth is a bad place, then you know what? No one good can come out of there. Anyone that comes out of Nazareth, they're no good. And that was totally his wrong conception, a wrong misconception on Jesus. But again, when you look at verse 47, the Bible says, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. In whom is no guile? Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Now, in Proverbs 15 and verse 3, the Bible says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Again, we do have to remind ourselves, you know what? God does see everything. And you know what? I'm glad that God is the righteous judge that will avenge. The judge of all the earth shall do right. So, again, those that commit heinous crimes against Christians, those that are on the devil's side and will never get saved, I'm glad that God eventually will pass judgment on them. But at the same time, I have to remember ourselves, you know what? God sees everything. Sometimes, I'm going to say we as in people, not necessarily you, but we as in people, sometimes out of sight, out of mind. Out of sight, out of mind. I mean, if it's not there in front of us, we're not thinking about it. So because Jesus is not in a physical body walking with us all the time, sometimes we might forget that he's there. When we have a wrong outburst towards somebody, many Christians do things behind closed doors that they would not do if they had the right mindset that, you know what, God is seeing me, as far as rated R movies and drinking alcohol and just listening to ungodly music, all the things that people have bought into the lie that, well, you know, I've got liberty, I'm under grace now, the law, I can do whatever I want. No, God's given us the liberty to be able to walk with him and talk with him and let him live his life through us. We do have to remind ourselves, you know what? If, and this is just an example, if Jesus was bodily in my house all the time, I would be very cautious how I treated my wife. I'm not saying I mistreat my wife, but I'm saying, understand, when he's physically there, bodily there, We tend to think a little more. When a boss is in the room at a workplace, no one talks bad about the boss standing there, right? They do when the boss is not there, right? Or if they're, you know, talking about other people, doing things that has nothing to do with their job, when the boss walks in, it's like everybody, it's quiet, everyone's diligently doing their work because the boss is bodily, physically in their presence. We have to remind ourselves again at times that, you know what? Jesus is with me everywhere I go. He sees everything and he knows everything that I'm thinking. And as we think about Nathanael and what Nathanael says, not in the presence, bodily presence of Jesus, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Sometimes we even question maybe, you know, what doesn't God know what he's doing? Why is God allowing this? Forgetting that, no, God does know why he's allowing this, and God does see us, and he knows us, he knows our struggles, he knows what we're going through, and he's got a perfect plan for us. We have to remind ourselves that Jesus does know our heart. He knows what's in our heart, and so I want you to see, because sometimes, I've said it before, but you think about Peter, before I continue on with Nathanael. I've heard many messages condemn Peter for denying the Lord and not listening to the warning that Jesus gave when Jesus warned him, you're going to deny me. And Peter's like, no, I'm not. Though everybody else denies you, I will not. And sometimes I've heard messages where they've said, Peter's so full of pride, he can't even see he's about to fall. But when I look in Scripture, and I look at the life of Peter, and Peter has walked with him 3.5 years, Peter's not the one that sold him for 30 pieces of silver. That was Judas Iscariot, who never had a heart for Christ. He just had a heart for money. He was the one that held the money bag. But Peter, like I believe probably all of us, have such a love for God because of what he's done in our life that how could I deny my Lord and Savior? How could I turn my back on the one who's given me everything? But at the same time, Peter didn't rely on the Lord, all right? He didn't really trust what Jesus was saying and didn't say, okay, Lord, you know me better than I know myself. So, Lord, would you help me not to do what you said I'm going to do? Because I don't want to do that. I don't want to deny you. Here, Nathanael in our scriptures, again, he's thinking about Nazareth. He's thinking about what everybody else says about Nazareth. You know, nothing good comes out of Nazareth. So he's not thinking about the Messiah who is perfect, who is the Son of God, who is the Savior of the world. He's just thinking, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And then you come to verse 47 where Nathanael is coming to Jesus, and Jesus saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, he's an Israelite, in whom is no guile. Now, Jesus does not have a sarcastic spirit. He's not being sarcastic. People would be sarcastic in saying something like that because somebody does have guile. Someone has, you know, hatred. Someone has prejudice in their heart. But Jesus says, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Jesus speaks the truth and says, there's no guile in him. Even before Nathanael even says anything to Jesus, Jesus is already letting Nathanael know, I know who you are, I know what you've said, I know what's in your heart, and there's no guile in you. Jesus does not pass any judgment. He doesn't condemn him for what he said because Jesus knows this is someone who is searching for the truth. He is comparing what someone is saying to what he knows others say. And he said, well, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? All right, he's not saying Jesus isn't good. He's speaking about the place, and Jesus makes the statement about Nathanael. Again, he knows the heart of Nathanael. And that's what I want us to be reminded of tonight. Jesus knows our heart. All right? Doesn't mean we can just say whatever we want, but to remind ourselves that Jesus does know our heart. He knows our thoughts. and he will address those issues when it is appropriate, because that is exactly what he's doing here with Nathanael, addressing it. Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Reminding ourselves that Jesus does have the ability to perceive the hearts of all people, and Jesus knew Nathanael was sincere and that he was looking for the truth. Otherwise, he would not have come to Jesus. He would just say, you know what? No good thing can come out of Nazareth. I doubt it's the Messiah. You know what? So I'm not even going to go and find out. No, because Nathanael was a sinner, he was looking for the answer. He wanted to know the truth. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Jesus always knows who is sincerely looking for truth and who longs for them to come, or he, Jesus, longs for them to come to him for salvation. Look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3. There are many examples in Scripture that just testify and remind us that Jesus just knows the heart of every single person. He knows what every single person needs. He knows what they're searching for. Sometimes, you know, people will do what we call beat around the bush. They won't just come right out and ask or right out and say. They kind of, you know, try to find a roundabout way to say what's on their heart because they're looking. They want an answer, but they don't quite know how to ask it. That's where we find Nicodemus in chapter 3. Nicodemus being one of the religious rulers. In chapter 3 of John, it says that he came by night. In verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night. Because he didn't want anyone else to know. But he wanted to talk to Jesus. And notice what he says. Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So he just wrote that. He's talking to Jesus. He comes to the house that Jesus is at. Jesus invites him in. He just says, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher from God because no man can do these miracles except God be with him. But Jesus cuts right to the chase. Look at verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He just cuts right to the chase. He knows why he's there. He knows why Nicodemus is there. He knows what Nicodemus is pondering in his heart, what he's trying to weigh, what he's trying to figure out. He comes to Jesus. Now look down at verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said to him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I read those verses, again, just another example that Jesus knows what's in a person's heart. He knows who's searching for the truth. He knows who's searching for the truth, and when someone is searching for the truth, Jesus will draw them unto them and reveal to them the truth that they need, the truth that they are looking for, the truth that reveals their need in Jesus Christ. Again, Jesus knows more about us than we know even of ourselves. His knowledge has no limits, and that includes his knowledge of you and me. In Matthew 11 and verse 28, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Again, there's times where we may pretend that we're not struggling, that we don't have any spiritual struggles. We don't want anyone to know that, you know, we're struggling in life or anything. But yet the Lord knows. You know why God cares so much about each and every one of us? He doesn't want us to carry the heavy load that we can't carry. He wants us to completely trust in him, rely in him, and to be reminded of what God knows what I struggle with. He knows
what it is that I tend to allow to weigh me down. There's just things in life that, you know what, we may be good at handling, and then there's other things that, you know what, when it comes around, it's like, oh, I can't handle that. And God wants us to already be automatically ready to rely on Him, ready to cast our care upon Him, because we know that He knows our limitations, we know that He knows our struggles, and we know that He loves us and wants to carry the load for us, because Jesus says, "For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Again, Jesus knew Nathanael's heart just like He knows our heart. He knew Nathanael was not being unbelieving, just he was wondering, how can this be? Just like Nicodemus, and yet the Lord Jesus revealed the truth. You know, again, look, Jesus always, I mean, again, if you go through Scripture, go back and look at John chapter 1 and verse 48. When you read through the Gospels, I always baffle at the fact that when the Pharisees would talk among themselves out of Jesus' earshot, without Jesus really being able to hear them, and then sometimes you would see where a Pharisee would just have, you know, they would have a thought, well, if he knew who she was, he would not allow her to touch him. And then they would question, you know, why is he eating with sinners and publicans? I'm amazed, but again, I understand the Bible does tell us someone's heart that's hardened and don't want to know the truth, they're not going to get it. But Jesus always questioned, he always answered the thoughts of his critics. You read in the Gospels, and the Pharisees were always being critical and always thinking things against Jesus. He always answered their questions that they didn't say out loud, or they didn't say near him. Because he would say, you know, why do you reason in your hearts? To me, that would have been like, how do you know what I was thinking? Because I'm that way with my wife. My wife sometimes, she'll know what I'm thinking. She'll like, what are you thinking? I'm like, nothing. Oh, no, you're thinking something. No, I'm not thinking that. And then she'll say, you're thinking, how'd you know? Oh, because she knows me, right? But you think about Jesus, who knows every thought. Because she doesn't get all my thoughts right. But Jesus gets all my thoughts right because He knows. I'm saying, look at verse 48. This is how Jesus gets the attention of Nathanael. Now, He already says of Nathanael, verse 47, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Verse 48, Nathanael saith unto him, as he's coming up to Jesus and hearing Jesus say this, "Whence knowest thou me? You know, how do you know me? I've never met you before. I've never seen you before. Whence knowest thou me?" And Jesus answered and said, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Now you think about that, and the response of Nathanael is in verse 49, but just the fact that Jesus, he brings up a location that apparently nobody knew. He brings up a moment in Nathanael's life that apparently nobody knew about. Nobody knew that Nathanael was under this fig tree at some point in his life. Obviously, he must have been contemplating things. He must have been there for a reason, whether he was trying to sort some things out in his life. Because when Jesus says this, Nathanael, look at verse 49, Nathanael automatically answers and says, "Rabbi." He automatically gives him the title Rabbi, which means master. "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God." That's all Jesus said is, "When thou was under the fig tree, I saw you." Which means nobody saw him under the fig tree. Nobody knew what was going on in Nathanael's life. But when Jesus mentions the fig tree, that's what makes him know, this is the Son of God. You're the only one that would know where I was and what was going on in my life. Now, we don't know. We're curious. I mean, I'd like to know, why was he under the fig tree? What was going on? That's just the way we are, right? But just look at the truth. Look at the fact that Jesus says that before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Because Jesus knew something very specific in Nathanael's life that nobody else knew, that sealed the deal for Nathanael that, all right, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Kings. You are the King of Israel. You are the Messiah. Jesus didn't condemn him for saying, you know, no good thing can come out of Nazareth. Again, Jesus knew what was in his heart. You know what? It might have been that Nathanael had already heard some rumors about Jesus, and he's trying to figure out, you know, he's searching for the truth, and he's trying to figure out what I'm hearing people say. Is that true? I mean, I'm not quite sure. And then Philip comes to him, obviously not when he's under the fig tree, but comes to him and says, hey, we found him. Are you sure? And this is what gives me encouragement. Not only does Jesus know our heart and know our thoughts and knows what we struggle with, but he knows our location. He knows where we're at in our Christian faith. And he knows how to help us to get past whatever the roadblock is, whatever's holding us back from going further with the Lord. He's able to remove that roadblock so that we, as Nathanael, can say, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. You are my Savior. You are the King of Kings. You're my Master. Because there are times in our life where we get to a place where we're contemplating, am I going the right direction? Am I doing the right thing? Am I believing the right thing? Because I'm hearing all this other stuff. And one of the biggest ones, probably in America, is which Bible? Which Bible am I supposed to have? Which church am I supposed to go to? Every single person that is searching for the truth and wants to know the truth, Jesus Christ will reveal the truth to that person. He'll reveal the truth to that person. And we can be like Philip and say, you know what? This is what I believe. But it is the Holy Spirit of God that helps us to get past whatever it is we are spiritually struggling with, because God doesn't want us to be in the dark, right? He's called us to be in the light. We are the children of light, but we also are human, and we do at times are cautious. There are times where we're skeptical, where, you know, we're trying to figure out, you know, well, what is truth, and what is it that God really wants for my life? And as we seek God, God always reveals the truth and will always lead us in truth. Again, Jesus knew his location. He knew what it was in Nathanael's life that it needed help with. And when you look at the scriptures and you look at the verses, you can't help but to think, you know what? I bet he was at the crossroads of deciding, is Jesus really the Messiah? I'm hearing everybody else say that he is. Everyone else is excited, but I'm not quite sure, because when I think about this city, Nazareth, I'm thinking, why would Jesus come from Nazareth? Why wouldn't he just come from, and he was born in Bethlehem, but he allowed himself to grow up in Nazareth? Because God's way is not our way. We think things should be one way, and God always does it differently. Look at Psalm 139, verse 1 through 4. This is why it's a wonderful thing that we do have a God in heaven who knows everything, and we can trust him, and we can rely upon the truth of his word and the leading of his spirit in our life. Psalm 139, you look at verse 1 through 4, the Bible says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off.
You know, sometimes it's hard for us to even explain to anybody else what we're thinking or what we're struggling with or what we're trying to decide. Sometimes people just don't understand what we're facing. But God does. He already knows what we're facing because he knows us from beginning to end. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. To me, that's comforting to know and to be reminded tonight that God knows everything about me, that he is working in my life, that even when I don't understand, he does understand, and I can trust him, and I can believe in him and follow him and allow him to lead me. And you know what? It even reminds me that when I come to a place and it's, you know what? I'm undecided. I don't know. Yet he has the answer and he's willing to help us through it. How is it? Most people, if you question them, they will turn you off. If you question what they say, I don't know if I believe that. Like I've said things before and to people and they're like, you're a liar. And they weren't kidding either. I mean, they were being right out just like, okay, what do you say? But I'm glad that God's not that way. I'm glad that God understands that we have struggles. He understands that we have questions. And he understands that we want to learn the truth. Because every child of God should want to learn the truth and grow in the truth and have truth be what leads us in life. And Jesus Christ is willing to work with each of us because he knows each of us. And he wants the best for us. He wanted the best for Nathaniel. You know what? Very quick, just look at the last two verses of John chapter 1. Look at verse 50. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. I mean, on that day, Nathanael's life was drastically changed. He was a believer before he met Jesus, but he was not saved. He was a believer in God's word, a believer in the coming Messiah. But on the day he met Jesus Christ, he became a believer in Jesus Christ. And his life was completely changed. Think about you. Your life and my life has been completely changed because we've met Jesus Christ. There was a time in our life where Jesus drew us unto him and we put our faith and trust in him. So he knows us and it should help us to trust him every day of our life with everything in our life, knowing that he always has the right answer. He will never turn us away. He will never say a bad thing about us. He will never push us away, but he always has the right answer, and the right answer is always according to his will to help us fulfill his will in our life. Again, when you think about just the wisdom of God and the fact that God is all-knowing, we have a God in heaven that we can truly trust with our entire life, knowing that God has our best interest in mind.